Welcome to Ultimate Sports Parent Radio, where we help parents and coaches instill confidence and ensure success in young athletes.
This is Lisa Cohn with Ultimate Sports Parent Radio. Today I'm here with Dr. Larry Lohr, Director of Coaching Education and Development for the Institute for the Study of Youth Sports at Michigan State University. I'm also here with my brother, mental game coach Dr. Patrick Cohn. Dr. Lohr is going to tell us about his research into how much parents should push kids and how to strike that fine balance between motivating them and pressuring them.
Get our new program, The Ultimate Sports Parent, a 14-day plan for kids' success in sports, by visiting the product section of youthsportspsychology.com. You'll learn how much pressure is too much, what to do when kids underperform, how to react to kids' losses, how to deal with difficult coaches, little playing time, and more. Visit youthsportspsychology.com, and while you're there, pick up our free ebook.
Hi, Larry.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I was hoping you could begin by telling me a little bit about the research that you've done at Michigan State, especially regarding the issue of optimal push, meaning how hard parents should push their kids.
Sure, I'd be happy to. We were provided a grant by USA Tennis Sports Science Committee to study the role of parents in junior tennis a few years ago, and it was a three-phase project where we basically went out and interviewed coaches. We surveyed coaches throughout the country, and then we interviewed a professional tennis player, one of their parents, and one of their junior coaches. And one of the key things that came out was this idea of optimal parent push, and this idea that it's a fine balance between pushing your child to do something that takes a lot of sacrifice, a lot of work, and a commitment level that's not normal for the everyday child, and yet not pressuring or pushing in an inappropriate way. And it's a really fine balance. And some of the things that the parents and the coaches and the players were told us were pretty important. The idea that you always push to not pushing to win, but pushing to practice. That was appropriate push. Pushing kids to follow through on commitments was appropriate, but pushing them to, let's say, train way too much was not appropriate. So there was this fine line, being positive in your push versus always being critical and looking at the wrong things. So parents needed to sort of fulfill that role where they were slightly nudging their child along, but they couldn't be going too hard with the push because then the child would feel that was pressure or would be too much. And so it's a hard thing to find sometimes. And we also learned a lot of it depends on the type of kid you're talking about. They said some kids can handle the push better than others, which I would tend to agree with. Some, they don't want to be pushed at all, and other kids have that personality where they're highly dedicated to this and they're willing to take that push to reach their goals. And a parent needs to know their child and what they're willing to take from the parent. And now, again, we're not talking about more on the abusive level. We're talking about making them go to practice when they don't want to, making them to do the extra reps, making them work out, maybe those kinds of things versus, you know, obviously being emotionally abusive or certainly not physically abusive. So,
now, were you talking just about tennis here?
This was just our tennis research, yes. But in terms of what I've seen and working in a lot of different sports, I think these findings are applicable. Certainly there's nuances in every sport that are different. Figure skating is quite a bit different than, football parents and basketball parents. But, you know, a lot of the same things still apply.
Now, what about pushing them to sign up for a sport to begin with? That's a topic that always interests me because I hear parents who really want their kids to play sports and the kids don't have any interest.
Well, to me, it's the age and you know, what interests they have. If they have a bunch of interests already and they're involved in stuff, I wouldn't necessarily push a kid to do something they didn't really show an interest in. But what we also know about talent development is that you want kids in that early time period to sample a lot of different activities, find what they really enjoy, let them fall in love with it, and then later on they'll be willing to maybe specialize in that if it becomes clear that, you know, there's an opportunity to move farther up the pyramid, I guess we should say, in terms of excellence. But yeah, you know, you want to give your child a lot of different opportunities when they're young. You know, and then, you know, but to me it's always, if a child really doesn't want something, then why are you pushing it upon them? So it's sort of that balance again of giving them opportunities, giving them life experiences, because some kids maybe are shy and they don't want to be put into new situations, but it would be good for them, and once they get into it, they enjoy it. It's just that initial sort of, you know, going into a new situation. So
that's,
you have to sort of feel that out.
That's Patrick Cohen here, Dr. Allar. That's often the case with my daughter. I know she's a little bit shy, but once she gets in that scenario, she'll actually thrive in it once she gets to know the participants in that scenario. One thing I'm interested in is where rewards come in. When you talk about the pushing aspect, are you also including kind of rewards, or is that a completely different area that you would separate from this parental push? And and how are you defining the parental push? Is this verbal or just scheduling their time?
We're defining this push pretty broadly to include almost everything the parent does, because the way we look at it, the push tends to be like an umbrella topic or more of a mega kind of thing that covers everything that the parent and child are doing. And it's more of a holistic feeling versus a specific thing, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like one behavior, but it covers like everything the parent's doing, and it sort of is like this level of involvement or level of push that a parent provides. So I would say that rewards would fall under there, because that would fall under that umbrella. And, you know, what are you rewarding? Are you rewarding the child for good sportsmanship, for taking care of their academics, for getting great effort, for maybe doing what the coach is asking them to do on the court or whatever the sport might be, or are you rewarding them for the short-term immediate goals like winning and increasing your ranking? And so those things are critical, because those get right to really that parent and child interaction and how everything's viewed. So let me give you an example, maybe the best way. So when a player goes to a tournament and he goes in, he really wants to win the tournament, and, you know, he plays great, but he plays another player that's just playing that much better, loses, gives a great effort, comes off the court, and then the parents are saying, wow, that, you know, you really needed to win that to keep your ranking or to get higher. That, you know, that really hurts. You know, what happened? Versus saying, well, you know, that was great. You gave a great effort. You did what the coach asked you to do. You hit your shots. You just came up short. The other guy was better today. Next week, you might beat him. That's that difference in the focus on the goals and then what gets rewarded, you know, in terms of that interaction that happens. And that is critical. To me, that's where the parent-child relationship gets strained or gets strengthened a lot of times.
Interesting. So in terms of signing up, getting them to sign up, it sounds like you lead them, but you don't push them too hard.
Yeah, I would say you want to put the opportunities in front of them and, you know, and take them to different things. And to me, in those early years, too, it's, a lot of it, you know, sometimes we're a little bit too structured in our activities in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, you know, going to the park with your kid, shooting hoops, playing ball, might be all you need to be doing at 4 and 3 and 4 and 5 and 6. I mean, I don't know. No one has the formula for developing a great athlete, and maybe that's not what this is about anyway. But you know, so that just that unstructured play.
Right.
You know, so that is a much less sometimes stressful environment for some children, but yet they still get that activity, they can still learn the skills, and they're still bonding with their parents at the same time, so, and playing with other kids.
In terms of that parental push that you talk about, where do you draw the line between really, you know, scheduling, you know, especially in tennis, you know, in junior tennis, your child can go, and there's many levels of that participation. Your child can go and take lessons or work out at an academy, and then you might have additional practices set up. Do you leave it up to the child at that age, you know, say 10 to 12 in junior tennis or older, how much they want to practice? Or do you emphasize that they need to practice every day? I mean, how much do you actually schedule and require them to participate in it.
Right. It sort of depends on the goals and the abilities of the child. And I always defer back to the coaches. So you find some coaches you trust and then let them give you advice on what they think is best based on what the child is saying they want to do in the sport. If your child says, I want to do this and I want to be as good as I can and I want to play varsity or I want to play in college. And again, young kids, they say these things, but then you got to talk to them. Well, this is what it takes. You're going to have to practice more often during the week. You're going to have to spend less time playing video games. You're going to have to be away from home a little bit more. When it comes to an academy situation, you're going to be away from home. We're not always going to be there with you. Is this something that you're okay with? And let them sort of think about that. So it really depends on the goals, the interest level, and then what the coaches are saying. Because if the coaches are saying, well, you know, this kid, he's okay, but I'm not sure that going to an academy is going to do much for you. You know, he's going to be a good, you know, varsity player, but we're not seeing that he's going to be a professional tennis player. So why go spend, you know, X thousands of dollars when you could get training at home and not leave your family and still could make it? Because there's a lot of players that have made it training from their hometown. They don't all go to academies. So, you know, I think that, you know, working that out between what are the child's goals, what are they expressing. When they're younger, obviously the parents are going to have to take a much larger role. When they get older, you know, 15, 16, that's really, you know, the player and the coach and the parent triad there. They need to kind of work out together what seems appropriate based on the goals of the child. Where they're at realistically in terms of their development and, you know, those kinds of factors.
Well, one of the things that I struggle with along this line, Dr. Lauer, is I told my daughter if, you know, she spent as much time on the tennis court as she did, you know, playing video games or watching TV, she'd be an expert, just like in reading, too. I could say the same thing about reading. She'd be at a higher level in reading if she spent that much time. The thing is they find those activities, those kind of mindless activities, more fun than going. It takes effort to go to the court and work out every day at the court.
Yep. Yep. And, you know, to me, that there's a variety of things there, but one is finding ways to make those activities fun because they can feel mundane and sort of like work. I think a lot of times we treat practice or training too much like work or even schoolwork. It's sort of like, you know, this is your job, you do it, versus, hey, look what you're going to get from this. This should be enjoyable, you know, reading or reading books that you like, you know, what you learn from it. And, you know, it always depends on the kid, but the more the coaches, the parents can make those activities fun, you know, the more the kids are going to want to go do that and it won't be so mundane. And then there is some level where kids just need to be able to do mindless stuff, I think, like adults, where they can just sort of veg out. But you don't want too much of that either, as you know. Because, you know, that's part of that obesity concern we have in the country, that we're probably vegging out too much, you know, too many hours in the day. So, yeah, it's tough. And, you know, it's also you got to have a passion for those things at some level, too. And that gets developed at a young age. A lot of times, and, you know, I guess there's windows there where you do develop passion for different things. You know, maybe when you go to college or later in life, you might pick something up. But, you know, helping kids, you know, providing that conduit to develop that passion is important. And then again, you know, what's too much? And against that fine line of what does your child want? How much are they willing to take? You know, and then making sure that not other things aren't slipping because of this, academics or family stuff or that kind of thing. So it's really,
your research sounds really interesting. I was hoping we could move on to sports parents a little bit.
Sure.
And talk a little bit about, I guess you specialize in hockey and tennis parents and what kind of issues they grapple with and how they can be good sports parents.
I think the biggest thing that they grapple with is the pressure to do more. It's sort of like an arms race now for youth sport parents.
Mm-hmm.
The kid down the road is training 12 months a year, going to these specialized camps, playing on this travel club, playing on this AAU team, then playing in this high school team, and then they're buying the best equipment there is to have, and doing all these things, and then there's other parents who, you know, they're saying, wait a second, we can't afford this, or we, you know, we don't think this is as important, or, but then your child's saying, well, I really want to do this, and I want to play in college, or I want to start at varsity, or those kinds of things. And as a parent, you want to do what's best for your child, and you want to help them reach their dreams, and so then you're stuck. Like, what do? We don't want to go too far where we're, you know, throwing $20,000 into this sport when we could save that and, you know, help our child go, get through school, you know, which would be the sort of the wise thing to do, right? But,
right.
You know, they're trying to follow their passion. You want to help them do that. You want them to, you know, enjoy it and have those same opportunities that other kids have. So I see a lot of parents when I go out and talk to them, they have really great concerns about the pressure to invest into this, really this youth sport industry that we have and this career that, that these young athletes have, and, you know, and going 12 months a year, and then at some point it's like, you know, what is an acceptable level for us? That is a big struggle, struggle for parents. Because I think a lot of them unintentionally get sucked into this world.
Mm-hmm.
They are doing everything they can, and they want their child to be successful. And I think there's a lot of ramifications that come off of that. I think that's why you see parents blowing up. That's why you see these emotional blow-ups that you see on YouTube or on the news. A lot of that's that investment that they've had.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that emotional investment, that financial investment becomes really important where, hey, this used to be a game, but now we've spent X amount of dollars. We put all this time into it. We travel across the country, and I really love my kid, and I want to see her be successful.
Well, you've got some great insight into this sports parenting stuff, and I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us.
Oh, thank you. I enjoyed it, and you know, it's complex, but it's a lot of fun, and you know, when you make a difference, you know, it's a lot of fun to be out there doing it. So,
thanks, Dr. Lauer.
Oh, you're welcome, Dr. Cohn, and you know, if we can do this again, let me know.
Be sure to visit youthsportspsychology.com to get our new workbook CD program, The Ultimate Sports Parent. You can also pick up our free ebook, 10 Tips to Improve Confidence and Success in Young Athletes. That's youthsportspsychology.com.
We'll stay in touch.
All right, thanks.
Thanks.